You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The Odyssey app must be summertime. We don't have either of our normal Wednesday features today. Play Chesterfield is in hibernation. They're still playing sports. A few of the teams are. We'll be at the state tournament next weekend. Good luck to everybody playing in regionals this week. A lot of those state teams were set last night across the area. Beautiful night for high school sports. Hopefully we'll get some more good weather. They're due for it after what we had this spring, for sure. Zach Joachim will rejoin us with VCU basketball and high school football this fall when we get to the other side of Washington Commanders training camp, OTAs. Week two today. That's the exact halfway point of optional on-field work for the Washington Commanders. Of course, NBA tonight, you may have heard the New York Knicks are participating in the NBA Finals, and this is interesting because when something happens in New York, it apparently has never happened before ever. So I guess we all watch the NBA Finals this year because the New York Knicks are involved. Good for them. When it snows in New York, when there's news in New York, we got to hear about it. The Knicks are in the finals. We got to hear about it. I tell you who doesn't do that to us. Good people are Raleigh. They're just enjoying hockey down there. Not a great start for the Canes. Scored in the first minute, went up 2-0, gave it all back. Vegas steals one on the road. They're up 1-0 in the NHL series. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a trip to my favorite place, Conspiracy Corner. We'll talk NFL. Leo the intern will talk Commanders with us. Highly anticipated on-air debut here on the program. Hopefully, it will be less insane his appearance on AWOD radio yesterday, which took a sharp turn and ended with everybody shirtless in the studio yesterday. What happened? I don't know. I had left. This is what happens when I leave. This is what happens.
I need you to stay all day today. I'm worried.
The tarps go off if we don't. Major League Baseball, we got A.J. Brown on the move. Lots going on in the world of sports. We'll fill you in on all of that. The drama that keeps on dramaing between the Flying Squirrels, the city, and VCU. But before we get to that, I want to start with a Squirrels update because I was out there last night. It was a beautiful night for baseball. And there's drama. There's pooping dogs. There's legal disputes. There's quotes from 80s mob movies. We got it all. But through it all, the Flying Squirrels just keep winning baseball games. So why don't we fire up a Richmond Flying Squirrels update?
Hey, have fun, go nuts. Hey, hey, have
Squirrels start the night 6.5 games up in the chase for a playoff spot in the Eastern League. 17 games to go until they award one of those. Squirrels finish the night 7.5 games up in the playoff chase over Harrisburg and Akron. Take that, Harrisburg. Take that, Akron. You're no Richmond, Virginia. Let's get to the highlights. There were plenty of them.
Dario Frigio throws. Coney swings and he crushes it. Way back to right field. That is way gone. Charlie Zaccone with a monster solo home run. It's an 8-4 Flying Squirrels lead.
8-4 hung on for the 8-7 victory in the end. All's well that ends well in front of a crowd of 57-14, including your guy MP. Here's what happened. We'll do the full recap with Megan tomorrow because it's her story, not my story. She sang the national anthem, did a great job. It's a tough song, by the way.
It is a tough song. It's on Twitter. Did a great job. Tough. I saw you put it on the Xbox.
There's a video somewhere. I don't have the video. Somebody's got a video somewhere of the anthem. But it sounds like you think it sounds. It's a well-known song.
Only if Fergie does it. That's the only version I know.
The hallmark of a good national anthem performance is that it's completely unmemorable. There are
so true
in the annals of national anthems far more bad memorable anthem performances than good memorable anthem performances. Deep cuts, Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl, and Chicago Blackhawks in the middle of the war. There's a few iconic anthems, very, very few iconic anthems. Far more got the job done, didn't take too long, didn't make it about yourself, got off the field, we played baseball. That's the hallmark of a good national anthem right there. Megan nailed it. But we, you know, she wraps up. She had to go check her guitar at guest services because you can't just sit in your seat with a guitar at a Flying Squirrels game, apparently. Who knew? And so we were chatting back there in the bar area back there, and everybody's yelling. All of a sudden, they got three runs. You can't blink. You blink, you miss it at the Richmond Flying Squirrels games. They are on a roll. 7.5 games up to reset the picture here. In 2.5 weeks, they will award a playoff spot to the best team right then. The playoffs don't start. The playoffs don't start for another 3 months, but they award a playoff spot because it's minor league baseball, and that's what they do. Squirrels 7.5 games up, claiming that playoff spot potentially. Things trending in a very positive direction. They'll take on Erie again tonight at CarMax Park. First pitch, 7:05. It is Bark in the Park night at CarMax Park. Bring your dog. Bring your big dog. Bring your little dog. Bring your dog named after a little mouse. If you own the team, bring your dog. Keep it out of Sweet 18. Sweet 18's seen enough, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Keep it out of Sweet
18. Make sure you
18.
Got your movie quotes ready if it gets in there, though.
New development in the story this morning. I run the Richmonder, richmonder.org, and we can see how many people read the stories. And it may not stun you to learn that a lot of people read the story about Lou DiBella's dog defecating in the Tallheimer suite on opening night. I think an equally important story today that is not moving the needle as much because it does not involve dogs, and I get that. I get that at all. But as you know, VCU baseball played at the Diamond, and the agreement there was basically, yeah, sure, VCU baseball, you can play at the Diamond. VCU does not draw fans like the Flying Squirrels do. To set the stage here, VCU baseball is attended by hundreds of people on a good day, tens of people on bad days. It's not a big draw, and so it doesn't make money for the school. The baseball program at VCU loses money. And so CarMax Park opens, and the deal is VCU is going to play at the new stadium. The Squirrels, who control the new stadium, and nobody's in the wrong here. Nobody's in the wrong here. The Squirrels have this beautiful stadium. It's got a concert venue. It's got event spaces. They want to have events there every day. And they don't make money when VCU is playing baseball there, and so they're not wild about that. just to call that what it is. They're not thrilled about it. And so everybody sits down. They agree. VCU's going to pay rent. They're going to pay rent to the city, $400,000 a year. They're going to pay rent to the Squirrels, $300,000 a year, to cover the wear and tear. That was last October, which is nearly a year ago at this point, 9 months ago. They had a press conference. They all shook hands. I don't believe Topolina the dog was there, which certainly, you know, it's a shame. I want Topolina at everything from now on, Lou DiBella's dog. I want that dog everywhere all the time. That's Richmond's mascot now.
If Lou DiBella's dog is not there tonight...
Sorry, Nutsy. Sorry, Natasha. You're not number one in our hearts anymore. Topolina the dog is.
Topolina.
That's just facts. So they make the deal, but then they never sign the deal. Now we're in the finger-pointing phase. A lot of finger-pointing all over the place. VCU plays this season at the Diamond. That's fine. The Diamond's very much still there. The long-term plan is for the Diamond to not be there, which I think we're all very supportive of. I'm very supportive of that. I will push the button. I continue to volunteer for that. But VCU needs a baseball home. That's a lot of money for them to play a team that doesn't make money. You have $700,000. Let's call this what it is. That's a point guard. That's a shooting guard for the basketball team, which does make a lot of money, keeps the whole place afloat. It's a lot. For the Squirrels, it's a lot of wear and tear. It's a lot of spring dates on a field that they'd like to use for weddings, for events, for conventions, for concerts, for all these things. It's there's tension there. But they VCU baseball needs a home. And so the city, they did a thing at city council, and one of the people in charge, it maybe says, all right, so the Squirrels and VCU aren't playing nice right now, and the Squirrels have said we're done talking. What if we, the city, just did a lease with them at CarMax Park? And that's what today's story is about, because the contract that gives CarMax Park to the Squirrels says the Squirrels have to negotiate, quote, in good faith with VCU. What does that mean? And that's what the judge will decide eventually, because these things, you know, these things have a track record of ending up in court when you have things like that. But VCU has signed a deal with the city. The city says you can play at CarMax Park whenever you come to an agreement with the Squirrels, or on September 1st, whichever comes first. And we got the line in the sand now. Figure it out. Parent trap style. Get in a room, lock the door. Don't come out till you got it figured out. And now, the unanswered question here is, so September 1st comes and goes, if they don't have a deal with the Squirrels, then what? And, you know, there's a fine line here between empty threat and we'll take you to court over it. And they're not tipping their hand on which one it is. We got drama at CarMax Park. We've always got drama at CarMax Park. Squirrels just keep winning. So we could have, in September, Squirrels playoff baseball and a lawsuit over VCU having access to the field to practice with the Squirrels locking them out, which is crazy to me. And I don't think, I'll just say this, I don't think either side is blameless here. I don't think any of the three sides are blameless here. We've got Lou and the dog in that story. We've got VCU, notoriously tough negotiators. And we've got the city, which didn't button all this up before announcing a $2 billion project. Traditionally a thing you want to do in economic development. So that's where we're at in the process. We'll keep you posted. You know, nobody's on top of it like we're on top of it. Megan will swing by tomorrow, brief us on the Anthem situation. But we got to get to Conspiracy Corner, because that's way more fun of a place, if we're being honest. So let's do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
The mic.
Now, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. You may have heard that a big event is coming to America this summer that involves soccer. You may have heard that tickets are completely out of reach to the common man. You may have heard the whole thing is a brazen cash grab. It's all true. But the real truth is even crazier, and can only be discussed in Conspiracy Corner.
What's going on here?
A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to it.
The U.S. World Cup team, which I'm just going to say it. I don't think we're good, folks. But people enjoy rooting for the home country. Red, white, and blue. We wish them the best this year. They open SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Big game, obviously. Opening U.S. game of the World Cup. Face value ticket prices. So this is the price FIFA charges to buy a ticket from them. $1,000 in the upper deck. $2,000 in the lower bowl.
Wow.
At SoFi Stadium, which is, and again, I've just got to say it, that's a lot of money.
Woo!
To watch U.S. national team soccer. And woo! To their credit, they've sold about 80% of the tickets.
Wow.
So FIFA set the prices to all, by the way, if they sell every ticket at that, that is a $100 million night for FIFA before they sell a single parking spot, program, beer, or hot dog.
$100 million?
That is a $100 million night at the gate.
Wow.
In case you're wondering if the World Cup will be financially viable. It appears they're going to be okay. Yeah. $100 million in ticket sales.
Woo!
Alone at those prices. They've also set prices for all the other games. And the minimum ticket price for any game to go to the World Cup,
okay,
is $300.
That's insane.
For a ticket. Like, if you're watching Brazil, England, Argentina, like any of these teams, of course, like,
yeah.
Yes, that's expensive.
Yeah.
But a lot of other teams are playing in this year's World Cup, too. Curaçao got invited, for instance.
Other teams in the World Cup? Ridiculous.
Well, there's a high quantity of games, not necessarily a high quality of games. We have the Ivory Coast. We have Curaçao. We have a lot of teams that, I'm just going to say it, I don't think are worth $300 to watch play soccer.
And that's the base for every single game?
That's the lowest lowest ticket you can buy any game, top row, from FIFA. They have a thing where, like, official, they like carve out a little section for the official fan club for each country, and those are super cheap, but that's not accessible to the average person. That's not available to you. Now, they're not selling a lot of these tickets. I mentioned you, 20% of the tickets on Sunday were available for the U.S. World Cup opener, which is a terrible look for everybody. But then a funny thing happened. The next day, no tickets were available.
Oh!
So, one of two things happened. Overnight, there was a surge of patriotism and pride because we only allowed Senegal to score two goals against us in a friendly, and everybody ran to go buy tickets at $1,000.
Obviously.
Or,
oh,
something nefarious is happening. Because here's what happened, Hazel. The next day, all of those tickets turned up on StubHub, the secondary marketplace, for significantly less money.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
So some people buy a ticket in the hopes of selling it for more money on StubHub. Very few people historically purchase tickets in the hopes of selling it on StubHub for less money. That's bad investing.
Yeah. And
that's not how you make money.
I've run the math.
Then the numbers don't add up there.
Negative.
But, so FIFA's got to sell tickets to these dud games. Curaçao, Ivory Coast, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. Like, all the tickets are available. Now all the tickets are on StubHub for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
If they discount them on the FIFA site, what happens to the people who paid $300? They're livid. They want their money back. They want a refund. I paid $2,000 to watch U.S. soccer in a moment of insanity, and now they're selling the tickets for $600. I want my money back. You're selling for it. So they can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's out. Because they got to keep their money.
Right.
FIFA, a notoriously bootstrapping organization, really needs this money to make sure that they can get by here and stage the World Cup we all deserve.
Just squeaking by.
Do you know how hard, do you know how much it costs to have a halftime show with Shakira and BTS? These are not cheap things.
$1,000 for the upper deck, heard.
So they give the tickets to StubHub, say sell them for whatever you can sell them for, send us the money. And when people get mad, well, that's not us. That's StubHub. That's StubHub. Those are resold tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to get mad about
those
here.
Stinking scalpers.
All right. I'm not done with FIFA yet. FIFA blocked off multiple large hotels in every city the World Cup is in for the whole summer for their own use to sell as packages. Well, people are not buying the official FIFA hotel rooms at $500 a night. It is very disappointing
for
everybody.
Did they spend their
involved.
Money on something else?
So also last week, thousands of hotel rooms just went onto the market in all of the World Cup cities. So the people who bought early here are really unhappy about the situation. $600 for a hotel room, $1,000 for a ticket. All of these things are cheaper now. Now, there are going to be big games, and those will sell for, like, you can't get into the championship game on cheap for StubHub right now. But they appear to have gotten a little too greedy in what they thought the market would bear on these things. I know that that's a stunner there from our friends at FIFA.
FIFA too greedy?
FIFA too greedy. I mean, I can see if I'm an international soccer fan, if I'm somebody who does not live in the United States and I'm an international soccer fan, I'm sitting this one out. I'm going to Miami in the middle of the summer in the heat to watch a game that has commercial breaks and a halftime show, or I can wait 4 years and it's back in Spain and it's going to be the thing that I know is soccer. Like, I get, like, Americans are going to go to these games. I'm now worried the atmosphere is going to stink at these games because it's going to be a bunch of Americans. I don't want to hang out with Americans. I'm going to a soccer game. Last thing I want to do is go to a soccer game with a bunch of Americans.
So true.
I don't want to go to any soccer game that I'm allowed to be at. That's a huge mess. You don't want people like me in the stands at a soccer game. That's contributing to a negative atmosphere there.
Fair enough.
When we went to London for the Redskins game way back when, we went to a game at Fulham. Phenomenal. Everybody singing and chanting and having a great time. That's what I want.
Yeah.
At a soccer game.
You ain't getting that here.
I don't think we're moving towards that.
Mm-mm.
I don't think we're moving towards that. But we'll always have the NFL. So let's talk about the NFL. That's enough soccer for one day. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, AllTrails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Happy the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Catch us worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Always in the middle of something NFL. They own every news cycle imaginable. And we're wrapping up week 2 of OTA practices optional team workouts in Ashburn. For the Washington Commanders, we heard from David Blau. Earlier this week, we heard from Durante Jones. Earlier this week, we heard from Dan Quinn. Earlier this week, one guy we have not heard from is Brandon Ayuk, as the drama continues. Will he, won't he? June 1st passes. No deal yet for Brandon Ayuk. I think we all understand somebody's coming at wide receiver. When's he coming? Will he come? We're all waiting. But a lot of the focus, and I think rightfully so, has been on the depth of this team. And this team is deeper than, I think, any Adam Peters team. You've got positions where they're still liable. And we talk about that a lot, corner certainly being at the top of that list. But I love the depth they've built on the line. I think they've got a lot of athleticism at linebacker, some really good rotational options. And on offense, I think you're starting to see what it looks like to have a strong young core on the offensive line with some veteran depth and backups as well, which you need. The Eagles taught us that in 2024. That team that won in the NFC title game was using its third string center. You need depth over the course of a 17-game football season that we hope will turn into a 20-game football season right here on The Fan. We'll be with you the whole way. I'm not counting the preseason games. You can if you want. We'll have them. I'm not counting them. You're welcome to count them. I'm excited. Preseason game two is Commanders-Lions. That's historically the one where you play the starters. I love getting a strength-on-strength test in Detroit against the Lions. May have to fire up the old fan chopper, get out to Detroit for that. That to me is a juicy preseason matchup. But something else happened this week as well. Congress, and this story is wild. This isn't quite Conspiracy Corner, but we got a day here. It's bit season. Just roll with it. We got a story here. Congress is investigating the NFL putting so many games on streaming service television and has summoned Roger Goodell to come testify in front of Congress on the issue. We got Thanksgiving Eve games. We got Black Friday games. We got Amazon games. We got YouTube games. We got Netflix games. We got Peacock games. We got all the games. You got to buy all the number. I was, you know, costs $43,000 to watch NFL games or whatever ridiculous. And that's not the actual number, but it's just so expensive to watch NFL games these days. Apparently, the guy agitating on this, and this will not stun you, is the guy who owns Fox, Rupert Murdoch. He's got a lot of political clout. Of course, Fox News, a major player in news. Apparently, he's been agitating the Congress people to do something about this. Would it help him out? Wow, interesting. Coincidentally, yes, it would. I love this take. So I'm just going to play it in its entirety. This is from The Athletic. This is a long clip. John Skipper ran ESPN. And I think this is the best take I've heard on the whole thing. He's talking about CBS, Fox, NBC, in a very real sense, need the NFL. It drives ratings. It drives viewership. 96 of the 100 most watched TV shows last year were football in America. It makes people engaged with traditional TV. He's making the case here, like, Netflix wants in, YouTube wants in, and that's exciting to Roger Goodell. That's new money. But he sees long-term downside in this. So go ahead, fire it up. We'll talk about it afterward.
People are talking about Goodell. Will he kill the golden goose? I do think there's a danger scenario here, and that is, I'm going to make an assertion. I'll be interested to see. I don't know what the books look like at NBC or CBS, but everybody's losing money on their NFL deal. It's a loss leader. So what Roger is going to tempt fate with here, he's been very good at this, is the delta between how much money an NFL package brings in the door and what you pay us is going to get bigger. That's what's going to happen. CBS is not generating $2 billion worth of advertising. And their package is going to go up to $3 billion. So at some point, and Roger's pushing the deals out further because he knows the traditional media companies are only going to get less powerful and less wealthy. and he is going to make it. He's very cleverly brought gradually all the streamers in, the big tech companies, because they can afford to pay $4 billion, $5 billion. By the way, it's the exact equivalent of Adam and Roger letting the equity firms in.
Adam
because,
Silver.
Yeah, because the teams are getting too expensive. Roger knows that he's getting so expensive that the tech companies are going to outbid the next round. But he should be careful. He doesn't have to be careful because it'll be the next commissioner, not him. So it's not going to be on him. Because the next commissioner is going to deal with the fact that these big tech companies have more leverage over you, and they don't need your product as much as the traditional broadcasters do. The NFL is at this position right now because these traditional media companies cannot exist without an NFL package. Mm. If the delta gets to be billions of dollars, they will have to decide to exist without it. They'll decline faster. Cable TV will decline faster. And the only people who will be able to afford the NFL's packages will be great big trillion-dollar market cap companies. But they are also tough, mean companies.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix negotiated with us over the per diem cost of our production crew on an inexpensive documentary. They will not. They're going to look, Roger, whoever is the next commissioner is going to be sitting across the table with somebody who's going to go, if I don't have your rights, I'm okay because I'm still going to sell a ton of Apple phones. And if I don't have the NFL, I'll be okay.
All right, so that's where the NFL's at, because they've been lagging. That's John Skipper. He ran ESPN for a long time. That's the worldwide leader in sports, home of ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN8, The Ocho, all the great ESPN channels. The ACC Network, home to America's finest infomercials 24/7. A lot of good things going on in the ESPN family networks. They built their empire around the NFL, CBS, NBC building their empire. His contention is essentially, When you move to streaming, when you move to Netflix, Apple TV, YouTube, they don't need you anymore. CBS needs you. CBS without the NFL is, you know, just what is it? It's Ion or Oxygen. Like, you know, name your TV service that you never watch. They have to have the NFL. You go to Apple TV, yeah, we want the NFL. How much will you pay? A little bit. If we don't have the NFL, I think iPhone sales will be good. We could probably still move some iPhones around here. I'll be curious to see how that plays, because that's a long-term thing. But if he goes into a contract and sells one of the big packages to a streaming company, and then they come back and lowball him the next time around, because you've got TV networks weekend, you would theoretically have a scenario where the salary cap would go down, which is what baseball is working crazy hard to avoid right now with all these regional TV deals blowing up. This is a fascinating time in the NFL. Of course, lots of fascinating action on the field as well. Myles Garrett on the move to the Browns, headlining a busy week of action. No action for the Commanders. Very much still watching the market, though. I don't think we're done. Won't surprise me to see at least one move between now and training camp, and maybe even a post-cut day move as well. Those get tricky because coaches fall in love with their guys. Every year we have that debate around cut days. Well, they can't cut that guy. He'll get picked up. But what you forget is every other team also has 53 guys they've fallen in love with and don't want to cut as well, which is why you don't see as much movement as you'd expect. We'll get some roster battles, though. We'll get some, you know, running back, tight end. There's some downstream stuff we'll be watching for in these preseason games. It'll be here before you know it, and we'll be here talking about it because get fired up for a little football season. I know we're in final season right now. Finals in the NBA, final in the NHL. I know my parlance here. Both of them going full speed. We'll get you up to speed. Thanks for hanging out with us. Back after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. You know, I talked about the Flying Squirrel story, and there are so many interesting things with the Flying Squirrel story. Then the relationship with VCU and building Carmack's Park and building across the street and them offering Parney a pub right next to the door of the stadium that Parney's like, hang on, I'm not going to have a pub, like, because I love Lou DiBella. So many interesting elements to this story. So I just ran into Jeff Wicker in the hallway, Wicker and Wild, in the mornings on Mix 90. I barely made it back in here in time because he just wanted to talk about
the dog!
Of course. It's all anybody wants to talk about is
Topolina.
The dog. Topolina the dog! All right. I'm just going to say it's a free idea. Meg's coming on with AWOD later. Free idea, Megs. I say you make Ludabella's dog the mascot for the season. She can run around the field pregame. She can do her business on the field. She can go bite the other team.
Ooh.
Seems like a lot of... Put her in a little tiny Flying Squirrels Natasha jersey.
I mean...
I see a lot of upside here.
Only upsides, really.
And as a way of brokering peace, because I am a peacemaker. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yep. I think you can offer Topolina for select VCU game days as well.
Ooh.
Big games. She can go terrorize the St. John's dugout. Whatever it takes to get VCU baseball back to a super regional, I think Topolina's the answer.
Topolina might be what it takes.
It's an all-time twist. You're like, there is a lawsuit. A woman is alleging that Ludabella's dog came in and bit her and bleeding, required medical attention, and it was a situation. And all of that apparently is very true from what we know. And then you see
the picture of the dog bite. Well, I want to see a picture. I'm telling you, MP.
Oh, I'm sure there's a picture of the dog bite. I'm sure it exists.
Well, send it to me.
The little dogs have sharp teeth.
I know.
But Lou is a big dude. Like, Lou gives off his New York City boxing promoter vibes. I think mainly because he's a New York City boxing promoter.
Oh, is that it?
you just don't see it coming.
She's
so good. She's
tiny. She's so small. She's so perfect. She has a favorite drink.
She's his baby. What is it? An oat milk chai latte?
Yeah.
Do not give Topolina conventional
milk.
She's
a Richmonder. I tell you that.
She's more of a Richmonder than any of the squirrels are.
It's true.
She's the ultimate Richmond. Pair her and Francine the cat?
I mean.
It doesn't get more Richmond than
in
that.
In separate rooms, maybe, but still.
Would they get along or no?
I can't tell.
I get the sense that Topolina runs any room she's in.
Yeah.
And that Francine just does not care. So I think they would have an understanding.
I hope so.
Francine sits in a corner and does nothing. Topolina runs the room.
Francine also usually takes the high ground. Every time I see her in Lowe's, she's up high. I just have to say, I don't think Topolina could get her now that I think about it. She's just surveying, really.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, strapped up with her air tag.
It's coincidentally... Bark in the Park night tonight.
Woo!
The Richmond Flying Squirrels.
Topolina!
All right. Get out there. It's Wednesday night. I think AWOD's going to make Tarps Off happen one of these days. It's coming.
I think so.
It's coming to Richmond.
People are excited.
National friends. Megan, who sang the national anthem last night and will produce tomorrow's show, asked me at the game what was up with that picture of AWOD and the intern with their shirts off. And I had to explain, because, you know, we love Megan, but Megan's not dialed in on the sports scene. She'd tell you that. It's not her specialty. I had to explain Tarps Off to Megan, which was significantly more awkward than it should have been.
Sure, right?
It's
one of those things that should just be understood.
I would prefer, yeah, like... You got a phone? Why don't you?
Yeah, Urban Dictionary.
Why don't you Wikipedia it?
Tarps Off.
In the wide world of sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We brought you on Monday the winner of this year's National Spelling Bee, which is under a new format where they don't just spell the words; they spell the words fast. And this kid's insane, man. Play a little bit. I don't want to play the whole thing because it's 2 minutes long, but he's rolling.
So your first word is Taroni.
T-O-R-O-N-E.
Enthymeme.
E-N-T-H-Y-M-E-M-E.
Iguape.
I-G-U-A-P.
Denebola.
D-N-E-B-O-L-A.
Fe-do-do.
F-A-I-S-D-O-D-O.
Kowathai.
C-Y-W-Y-D-D-A-U.
He's doing better than the announcer. The announcer doesn't even know how to keep up with this. In the annals of great human athletic achievements, the Guinness Book of World Records, of course, keeps tabs on those kinds of things. I don't know if that is a world record or just really impressive or what it is. But this guy in England, Big Johns, that's plural, Big Johns, apparently makes it his business to set Guinness World Records.
Sure.
That's what he does. He's got a podcast. He's in a little room. There's There's a guy with him hosting, and there's a woman with the Guinness polo and a very official looking clipboard and a stopwatch. And so I don't know if this provided inspiration, I guess, to Big John's, or who decides what is and isn't a world record? Really, who knows? Big John's this week, who is no Topolina, but a compelling character in his own right, announced he was going to set the Guinness World Record for the most takeout dishes named in 30 seconds. And this is what the spelling bee kids grew up to do, I guess. I don't know. Big John's, you got put 30 seconds on the clock. Let's do this.
Go.
Egg fried rice, chicken fried rice, pork fried rice, special fried rice, Singapore fried rice, Singapore rice noodle, plain charming, chicken charming, pork charming, beef charming, chicken balls, prawn balls, pork balls, sweet and sour chicken, sweet and sour pork Hong Kong style, sweet and sour prawn, beef in black bean, chicken in black bean, pork in black bean, roast duck Chinese style, roast pork Chinese style, chicken Chinese style, crispy aromatic duck, seaweed, sesame prawn on toast, spicy pork, mixed hors d'oeuvres, chicken and sweet corn soup, chicken noodle soup, hot and sour soup, prawn crackers, chips, salt and chili chicken balls, salt and chili Stop. Pork.
Wow. 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 That to me sounded very quick.
I feel like I might have done it just.
In your attempt today, you achieved 40 menu items. Yeah.
That was too dramatic of a reveal. I did not call for that dramatic of a reveal from the official Guinness representative. Did you know that the Guinness World Record book, and you may have known, maybe this is commonly known, it's the beer people? The Guinness beer is the Guinness World Record. All right, good. I got
it. Sound like the tire people are the
Michelin.
Right.
The Michelin tire people grade restaurants. And we all just act like that makes sense.
Sure.
Here's the logic. They made the Guinness Book of World Records to settle bar debates back in the day. Now, way back in the day, I don't know if George is listening today or not, but way back in the day, we worked at the newspaper. This is before AI and, Googling thing. You could ask Jeeves, and Jeeves would get you an answer if you were lucky.
Butler?
Yeah, ask your online butler.
Uh-huh.
People would call the newspaper with their bar debate questions and ask us to settle their arguments from the bar late at night. Who had more home runs, King Rivy Jr., Sammy Sosa? And we were expected to get the reference book and weigh in on their bar debate at night. It was It was a very different time in America.
Huh.
Make sure this segment ends up on all our best of shows. Marconi? Is this the one? Is today the day we win the Marconi?
Today is the Marconi day.
I'm out on Big John's.
It feels like the Guinness Book of World Records has strayed significantly from that original settling debates thing.
I'm going to say it. That's not a world record. Shouldn't be a world record.
Well, sure. I can read a menu. get her in here. I'll beat his record. 30 seconds on the... I'll start training now. I'm going to hit every restaurant in town and just grab menus.
Hazel, soon to set a world record, but not before we do another hour of radio. Leo, the intern, makes his long-awaited MP debut. I've been waiting over an hour for it, for instance. On the other side, you're listening. Tonight's in the fan
listening.
Now.
I love that.
Yes, what Michael says about people calling the paper for random sports questions is true. Sometimes they were sober when they called, and by sometimes I mean rarely. That's certainly my recollection as well. Then we'd wrap up at 12:30 in the morning, go over to Penny Lane. That was back when places stayed open. Your generation, Hazel, doesn't know places staying open. There's so few places that stay open late now.
Yeah.
It's really, post-COVID, that was the biggest societal shift.
COVID ruined everything.
COVID kind of did ruin everything.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a hot take.
It's not a hot take. It's a fact. I stated it as such.
I think it's a fact as well. And World War I, World War II, it's these big, globally changing events.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at least for something, mm-hmm. And there was a war and trenches and freedom and bad guy. This is the stupidest world-changing thing.
Very stupid.
Yeah. We all got sick and now everything's different.
Now everything's different because I had a cough.
Yeah.
Well, we all had a cough.
We all coughed. We're all still coughing.
Long COVID.
It
comes for us all.
It's a long game. Yeah. And now what's the new one?
Don't even. I I'm refusing to acknowledge the new one.
There have been a lot of attempts at new COVID. None of them have stuck. Because
everyone's real mad about COVID number one.
I'll just give you my hottest take.
I think
we got to ban cruise ships.
Yeah.
These things seem to happen a lot on cruise
ships. Oh, you were referring to the hantavirus on the cruise ship?
Thank you. Hantavirus. That's the new COVID.
Yeah, we got to get rid of cruise ships as a whole.
Yeah, I'm not anti people having fun, but like if you ask somebody like, because cruise people are, they're devotees. Like it's like the adult Disney people. Like they're all in on their thing. If you ask people though, like, why do you enjoy cruising? The answers they'll usually give are the food's great, you know, and you can eat as much as you want. You go hang out on the beach, and there's a pool and it's a spa. It's very relaxing. All of these things are available in non-floating formats.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go out on a petri dish, why don't you?
All right. I don't know if I've just insulted Leo the intern and the first segment has gone horribly off the rails.
Are you a cruiser?
Have you ever been on a cruise?
I've been on one cruise, but like I was like 12.
Okay. We'll
Where did it go?
We'll allow it.
Bahamas.
Yeah, you didn't.
It was like down like Florida. It was a big extended family went on a whole.
Yeah, you don't have any say in what you do when you're 12. You go over. Yeah. Oh shoot, I'm 41. When the family goes on vacation, that's where you're going.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I am occasionally like you know occasionally get the like Michael. Here's what we're thinking about you know going, but I rarely interpret that as a solicitation for input.
Do you have opinions? Don't care.
Moving on.
We're going.
Leo's with us all summer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Syracuse grad. Get that out of the way quickly.
Ooh, one more year left. One more year left.
Oh, sorry.
Rising senior.
Sorry. Syracuse student. We believe in you. We believe in you. Make it to the finish line. But, and here's what I want to focus on. Commanders fan.
Yes, sir.
And this is a big season because statistically speaking, a team's best opportunity to win is with a quarterback on a rookie contract. And Jayden Daniels is on a rookie contract for two more years. Mm-hmm. You get the fifth-year option, but that's pricey. Like, we're moving, and I hope he doesn't play on the fifth-year option. I hope the extension kicks in, and he's a $70 million man here for a long time. But the rookie contract is historically the best window to win. This is year three. Did they do enough for you coming into this season, or do you still want them to do more things?
I think they've done a lot good so far, just looking at some of the different changes they made, especially at that offensive coordinator position.
They've been
wanting
active
to run more under center in that, but I know they talked about, we listened to the David Blau thing yesterday, and they were talking about how they love this receiver room and all this stuff. There still is, unless you really want Treylon Burks to be your number two guy.
I don't.
Which, all the clips on Twitter and all that's looking great. It's looking great, but it's still Treylon Burks.
The catch against the Broncos.
Yeah, one catch might have saved his career, but if he doesn't come out, and there's also a good chance we've all talked about, like, he just gets injured and cut.
I don't love anything where it's like, why are we trusting him for a 17-game NFL seat? Well, remember that one catch? Like, David Tyree had a good catch, too. Didn't make him a great NFL player, and not in the Hall of Fame.
I know we're still waiting on to see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. But there's also, they could just keep him until September. And then at the last possible minute, I mean, you made us look bad. We're just going to, all right, we'll keep you now.
Ran into somebody at the Diamond last night, which is not the Diamond. It's CarMax Park. I'll get that right eventually. Probably won't. But he listens to the show, and we were talking about Brandon Ayuk. He said, I'm nervous about it. And I agreed. I said, I'm nervous about it, too. We did this with Terry, and Terry's a hard worker. Terry showed up late. Ended up getting hurt. The chemistry was off. Brandon Ayuk just feels like that times a million. Like, I don't want Brandon Ayuk walking through that door after the third preseason game. That's too late.
The only thing that's saving me with that is the fact of, well, if they trade for him, the Niners are going to have to take that contract. Yeah. There's no way we trade and keep the contract. The only thing that's saving it is it's going to be such a cheap deal. And it's going to have to be a cheap one-year deal where we're not looking at him for a long-term solution.
I think they thought that's what Von Miller would be last year. You sign him, you slow play him, and then like week 10, you start ramping him up. The problem was they were toast by week 10. They were back from Madrid. It was like, all right, we're done. Maybe you sign Ayuk week 1 and say you'll make your debut week 10, hopefully giving him the lift into the playoffs at that time. But anything more than that feels a little risky.
Well, the hard part is, you know, with Terry, that's a guy who has been working his butt off even when he wasn't with the team.
Zero doubts.
There was all the conversations about IU driving down like 100 miles an hour past the stadium last year.
Yeah.
His Kittle's in press conferences going, I love the guy to death. I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Like, they have no idea what he's up to.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much banking on, oh, that's Jaden's guy from college.
Yeah.
And you sit there like, that would be great. But I feel like they need somebody. And I've always loved Stephon. Mm-hmm. And if they could get Stephon Diggs.
You want to go double Diggs?
I would love double Diggs.
There you go.
I mean, you already have Amos, who we don't know really when he's going to be able to ramp it back up. That cornerback room needs another person. If you could bring that in, two local guys.
If you let me add two starting caliber players to this roster and said, what position are you going to add them at? I think those are the two positions. I think I want a receiver and a corner, right?
And there's been all the talk about bringing them back here, and I've always been up and down on Trayvon Diggs,
mm-hmm.
but Stephon Diggs from Minnesota, like, that's just a guy who's so fun.
Yeah. I'm worried about a double dig situation where drama overtakes.
Well, drama follows either of those guys everywhere
yeah,
they go. I mean, there was all the clips from when Stephon was in Minnesota, though. Who would you not let date your sister? Oh, every single person was like, Stephon, no. You stay, keep him away from everybody.
Yeah.
He had, what, over 1,000 yards coming off the ACL last year with Drake May? Like,
he did.
That's a guy you need to bring in. He is a starting receiver, a dang good one in the NFL.
The numbers are good, and the ceiling's high. If Jaden plays and plays well, the ceiling's right back at the end of the season. I mean, NFC title game. I'll say this is a better roster right now than the one that went to the NFC title
game not even
2 years ago. And when we're talking about calibrating expectations, like, Dan Quinn doesn't want the expectations there, but it's also, I think that's a fair place to start, especially with the Eagles talking about drama. I mean, who in the NFC East is definitively better than these guys? To me, it's just the Eagles, and the Eagles can beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
I believe in that. That could happen, but I'd take these guys over the Cowboys. I'd take these guys over the Giants.
The hard part is I still see the team, even though, like, I mean, I would love to win the division, but I so see it being like a 5-6 seed.
Yeah.
Sneaking into that wild card.
Well, if the Eagles are as good as they can be, the 5's the ceiling. Now, I don't mind being the 5 seed because you always, like, the 5 always beats the 4.
Yeah.
That's like a tradition right there. That wouldn't bother me to win that game. And not getting a home game would sting a little. Like, I want to watch a Jaden Daniels home playoff game at some point.
Oh, I'm going to. If they somehow win that division, I was talking with my mom, and we used to have season tickets, and
yeah,
I haven't been to a game since my senior year of high school, and she calls me. My plane wasn't going to make it in time for me to get back to Syracuse to see that Bucks game with all my friends, and my sister's in Tampa for a soccer tournament, and I get a call from her going, hey, Leo, what's the app where you get tickets on? I was like, TickPick, why? Like, she's like doing all this stuff. And they're saying, you know, my whole family's at the game, and I'm sitting there at home alone.
No.
And I was like, you have to be kidding me. I told them, I'm going to the next playoff game we have, no matter where that is.
You're
going to
put FIFA in charge of ticket sales for that.
Yeah, that's going to go great.
Commanders NFC title game. Can you imagine how much that'd go for?
We were looking at them. I was looking at them for a little bit because Philly's not that far away.
Yeah.
It's like $400 for standing room only. We sat there and we're like, this is just not going to be worth it.
I don't want to hang out with Philly fans. I don't want to be on.
I'm trying to.
Philly
I'm going
fans.
To week one
in Philly.
In Philly,
that's a. I can't. I don't want to be with 70,000 Philly fans. That's not. That's my idea of a terrible time. I know it's a big game and it'll be fun, but it's so many Philly fans.
Oh, it's so many
in one place.
So many of my friends up at school are Philly fans, so we're all going up together. It is. It could be a great day or a absolutely horrendous day, and there's no in between.
You are not kidding about that. You were briefing me on the kicking competition, though.
Yeah, that's...
We got a live one here.
Man, I wish it wasn't, though. I've never been a Jake Moody guy, and when they signed Stevens, I was like, okay, and
yeah,
all the talks were...
You want him to get
so
it.
Good.
Yeah.
I really want him to get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he looked so much... I know it was last week, but he looked so much better last week. What'd he go? It was like 6-for-6. Moody missed a 48-yarder. And then I just seen all the tweets today going, oh, well, Stevens went 4-for-6. It was one wide left, another low, one wide right, another one low left. Thankfully, I guess at the end they both nailed 58 yarders, but oh my God.
Why is this so difficult for us? Like,
it's every year.
It's every year. Because if you find a good kicker, theoretically, they can play for 10 years and you don't...
Easily 10.
Yeah. Well, why are we... It just feels like we're the only team that can't find a kicker.
I'm getting to the point where... At what point do we just start signing the UFL guys? Because apparently it's what, 2 for 2 now? Where it's looked really good. The Lions got them, the Cowboys got them. Like, just start signing these guys. Take whatever the best kicker from there is. Sign them. You're good forever.
Let somebody else do the work for you. You don't even need to do the scouting work. Adam Peters, take the day off. Go on a cruise. Don't go on a cruise. Adam Peters gets hantavirus. That'd be terrible. But other leagues are doing the scouting for you.
Like, when was the last time the Commanders had a not even legitimate, solid kicker?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't remember.
Graham Gano? Is that where we're going here?
It's going to have to be. Like, that is so long ago.
It was a minute ago. Yeah.
Like, it's every year. It's a new battle,
I'm not sold that Dustin Hopkins wasn't the answer and got scapegoated for the team being terrible under Ron Rivera, which is part of the problem as well. But we have competent leadership now, so that's nice.
Jake Moody cannot be the answer.
I just want a good kick. I was so excited last year when they signed Matt Gay because I said, Adam Peters knows how to pick players, paid $4 million guaranteed, and then he was a bad kicker. And then it's like, wait a second, he's always been a bad kicker. What happened here? I don't know. It feels like it should be easier to find a good kicker.
I thought after Gonzalez hit the walk-off, I was like, oh my God. And then all that stuff came out, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, there goes that one now.
There goes
and
that
just
one.
Just picking and having to find a new one every year is just incredibly annoying.
Found McManus, and he goes. It's a yearly struggle, it seems, for sure. We're watching it, though. I get a little juiced up for a kicker competition at training camp. I'll watch. Yeah, well, they got the tiny goalpost too. I love that. They do the Arena League style goalpost where they make them kick on the half size. I like that. That's a good twist.
The one thing that scared me about Stevens is it was a 54-yarder that was low left. You can't miss low left from inside 50, right. 55. Like, you need to be able to at least, if you're going to miss it wide. You can't miss low.
We're going to have to put a warning on AWOD Radio. We get a kicker that misses 54 low left. That's not going to be a good show the next day. Leo the intern swinging by. Welcome aboard. Excited to have you here for the summer. We got a whole show, though. Taking up to AWOD Radio at noon. Flying Squirrels Baseball. Tonight, it's Bark in the Park night. Bring your dog. Big dog, little dog. Doesn't matter. Bring your dog. Lou DiBella, bring your dog. I want to meet your dog. She seems lovely. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's in the Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Always talking Commanders, never out of season. You got one more week of optional practices next week. And then the mini camp is mandatory. You got to show to that. But it hasn't been an issue. Attendance has been very good through 2 weeks. You know that I thought getting Laramie Tunsil for day one was a real strong statement about where things are at. Positive updates so far. We'll hope to keep that momentum going for another 2.5 weeks and then send everybody off to summer break before we see at training camp. The march towards cut day, the first game, the first three games, man. You know I'm calling the first four games a big operation here. Philly, Dallas, Seattle, and then London. And those London games have a way of turning into 50-50 games when you get overseas. It's a tough start, tough early four. David Blough has his work cut out for him, drawing up some winners for Jaden Daniels, taking advantage of a healthy roster, a healthy quarterback, to maybe spring some stuff on some NFC East foes. We've had the big NFC East finish before. Now we get the big NFC East start with two in the first 2 weeks, really setting the tone for this season. And they're not just the playoffs, because you can lose the first two and still make the playoffs. 0-3 is tough. History tells us 0-3 doesn't turn into a playoff team. But you can be 1-2 and make the playoffs. But if you lose those two divisional games, are you going to be able to host in the playoffs? And I think we'd all selfishly love to have a Jaden Daniels home playoff game. I think there'd be a lot of juice behind that. That would be exciting. One guy who got to play home playoff game here, Bryce Harper, the Washington Nationals, of course, broke up that golden era. I will relitigate that for decades. The Strasburg decision, the Strasburg signing, Rendon, Turner, Harper, all those guys. On the whole, I think the learners are incredibly cheap. I've said that many times. I don't think highly of them as Major League Baseball owners. I think they hold this team back. And also, if they had gone full Steve Cohen, got out the checkbook and said, we're keeping everybody, Rendon, Turner, all those Harper, all those guys, I don't know that there's additional titles in the mix. Looking at the production those guys had elsewhere, I don't know that we're looking at any kind of golden era. Maybe a pretty good era. Would have been fun to go to the ballpark every night to see those guys. I don't know that that's a ton of titles, though. But Bryce Harper, who showed up as a Cowboys fan, now he's in Philly and he's an Eagles fan, never became a Redskins fan, probably a LeBron fan, hope Duke basketball does well for him this year. Bit of a front runner. He's back and poking at his old team, and no good guys here, because one of the guys is Bryce Harper, and the other guy is Mark Lerner, who owned the baseball team, or Ted Lerner, who owned the baseball team. And this is Bryce Harper describing the final days in DC when it became increasingly obvious he wasn't coming back as a National. This is him on Barstool and Busting with the Boys with Will Compton. Says he was offered a contract literally in the middle of a baseball game. Here's the story.
How was it during the either breakup or just separating paths with Washington? Was that a bad blood breakup?
Mike Rizzo, I loved him. He was our GM and president at the time. He was awesome. But organizationally, this was the best thing for me to go to Philly and play there. I think it was just time for me personally to get away from there and do my thing with a different organization. I don't have anything bad to say about the fans or anything else. They boo me every time I go in there. I don't know. I feel like I did a lot for their organization and their team and stuff. But at the same time, like, it's sports. It is what it is. So going back to the Nationals. So we had our last game in in D.C., and then we went on the road. We were in a rain delay. It was like the sixth inning, and my coach walked over to me, or my manager, and was like, hey, old man's in the office. Old man Lerner. He's their owner. He was their owner. He hands me an envelope and says, this is an offer you won't be able to refuse. This is during a game. I was like, what? Like, are we serious right now? This is how it's happening right now? And so I called my agent, and he goes, go down to the fine print. And it's like 70% deferred over the next 30 years of your life. Yeah, that's not a good offer. And so I go back to my locker. But just the moment of that, like, I was just like, that's wild.
Yeah, it feels like not the right time to offer a guy a contract. I was in the neighborhood.
What, is he doing something?
Thought I'd swing by, give you an envelope with a contract. All the deferred money.
An offer you can't refuse.
It's Lou DiBella running the Nats? What's going on here? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. More Bryce Harper fun. The Phillies had a rough start. Unfortunately, they've stabilized. Nats at an even 500. Even 500 this year. I'll take it. They want to finish at 500? I feel great about that. No issues there. Carolina Hurricanes, man, score in the first minute, go up 2-0, give it back, lose 5-4 to Vegas. On home ice in game one, Stanley Cup off and running. NBA Finals start tonight. If the Knicks are going to steal one, this is the night to do it. With the Spurs having played a grueling seven-game series to get here. Catch them while they're down. That would be the path to victory for the Knicks. The Spurs win tonight. It looks very good for Wimby and his crew. And so much of it's going to be, what do you do when Wimby takes his breather? And they solved that in Game 7. Can they solve that against the Knicks in a long series? We'll be watching. Everywhere you look, somebody's reminding us the New York Knicks are in the NBA Finals. I say good for them. We pull for the Spurs around here. We've also got two segments left. They'll take you to AWOD Radio. Back after this. You're listening to 910 The
College football playoff schedule is out for next year.
Latest national title game in college football history. January 25th be the college football national title game.
Wow.
If you're trying to fix it, that's a great place to start. It needs to end the next Monday after New Year's.
Yeah.
Monday night title game. This is not brain surgery here. Friday, December 18th, first round playoff game, 19th playoff games, competing against the NFL that day. Quarterfinals on New Year's Day. That one makes sense. Semifinals, January 14 and 15. 13-day layoff between the quarterfinals and the semifinals.
That's wild.
That's legitimately wild that anybody thought this was a good idea. And then after that, 8-day break to the January 25th national title game. What are we doing here?
I don't think they know.
I know they don't know. Virginia Tech, $50 million donation to the football program anonymously. Nice of that person to be humble about it.
Could be anybody.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much credit on air here.
But. Listen, I saw you buy our lottery ticket last week. I know it's possible.
We just need Hokie football to be good. It'd be good segments around here if Hokie football's good. We need it badly. $50 million, in addition to the $220 million committed by the administration, they got money flowing down there in Blacksburg. Because that was, you know, Gary Hess and I talked about this last week. If you were to bet on UVA football or Virginia Tech football over the next 10 years. Tech has so many advantages. Better tradition, better fan base, better coach, better enthusiasm, better, you know, fan support and energy. So many advantages. You would say, though, that UVA has more access to money. And it's a pretty simple calculation these days. Money can turn into good football players. And I made the case to Gary that if you were to give me a 10-year bet on both football teams, I'd take UVA because they've got the access to the money. So many, I mean, you pick up the phone, call a UVA grad who's running a hedge fund, you can get a $50 million check. Tech doesn't have a lot of those people. But man, the ones who do sure seem invested in Virginia Tech football. It's now $280 million infused into Virginia Tech football, which is more than the NFL salary cap, if you're keeping score. That's over a longer period of time. They're not spending NFL levels on the team each year. Maybe I slept on the wealth down there in Hokie Land. Maybe I'm sleeping on how much money they drum up for a football team. Because that's an impressive number. $280 million now injected into the Virginia Tech football team. We've got our Madden cover. That used to be a big thing every year because they said whoever was on it was cursed. I think we've done enough years now of like that person being fine that we're good now. No, it was a big thing.
This is like when we figured out about the 00 curse of the presidents where 8 of them died in a row.
Yeah.
And then curses left and right.
And we never spoke of it again.
And then one person breaks it and we're like, yeah, I don't remember that. That's crazy.
Right?
Not even talking about it again.
Caleb Williams, your Madden cover this year for the Chicago Bears. He's exciting. Hey, what a great year to be a top 3 draft pick that year for Washington. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. All enjoying really great NFL careers. You don't see that often where all three of them end up panning out. Usually at least one's a cautionary tale. All three have had brilliant moments. All three of them seem to be well positioned going into this year and going into the future. Russell Wilson is expected to turn down the New York Jets, who have offered him a job as their backup quarterback.
What?
This year. Had the choice of that or going to CBS, who's offered him a seat on the NFL Today. We're going to get some Russell Wilson TV this year. He'll be good. Calling it now. Pride of Richmond. He'll be good. Maybe bring Ciara with him from time to time. He's going to be good on TV. I'm calling that right now. He's energetic. He's charismatic. The question with all these guys always, will they give their opinions on mm-hmm. TV? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Watching the hockey last week, like Wayne Gretzky, greatest of all time, has so much to teach all of us about the game, will not give an opinion. You can't draw it out of him. It's not good TV. It's not good TV. See if Russell Wilson's willing to, you know, break some eggs.
We'll see.
Along the way. We will see.
I hope so.
Commanders announce they are increasing season ticket holder availability for training camp access from 3 days to 6 days this year. That had been a complaint last year, not many open practices. The other fans still shut out, but now the season ticket holders will get twice as many opportunities to swing by and watch practice. I always like the practices with the fans because there's a little juice, there's a little excitement. The guys are showing off a little more. You know, I know from the player perspective, they like it. From the team and logistics perspective, it is hard to get people in and out of that place. It's truly just in a neighborhood. There's a data center to the left. There's a data center to the right. There's a data center all around. You park on a grass field and walk that. The logistics are very difficult.
A grass field, soon to be a data center.
It
sounds like open space to me.
When they open the new stadium, Commanders Park, as it stands right now, will absolutely be a data center within 3 years.
Yeah.
Somebody explained this to me once. Don't listen to me, because I'm sure this is wrong. But somebody explained it like there is a wire that runs under the ocean. That connects Europe and America.
Right. I've heard about the wire
for internet purposes. Right.
The giant wire.
The human brain cannot comprehend this. I've tried.
Yeah.
There's a wire underneath the ocean.
Which we don't really know where the bottom of the ocean is, right? We're just like, here's a wire.
No part of this is understandable to me.
Sure, sure.
At all.
Carry on.
The wire comes back up in Ashburn, Virginia. Like that's...
center of the world!
That's where the wire... Yeah, move over Ashland.
Yeah.
Like the wire from Europe emerges in Ashburn.
Amazing.
And so if you build your data center next to the wire, you have better data, faster data. Everybody wants to build where the wire is.
Sure. Who wouldn't? It's a big wire. I like wires.
MP explains the world.
Hazel's all in.
And so this land is incredibly valuable to Google, Amazon, Meta, etc.
Sure.
Because even a couple hundred yards can make a mess.
From the wire.
The wire can make a like there are billions of dollars to be made on being the first person out of the wire.
You think they're watching OTAs and they're like, look at them parking on my perfect little wire plot.
I heard a story once. Statute of limitations is over now. I heard a story once from a person who worked there at the facility in Ashburn. And they were doing, it was something completely routine. It was like digging a hole to put the field goal posts in. They dug a hole.
811.
And cut a wire.
Ooh. The wire?
Well, they called 811. They marked off all the wires.
Oh, okay, good.
But they cut a wire.
But they still...
That wasn't marked. And they said within 60 seconds, there were a dozen unmarked security vehicles. On top of the wire, evaluating the situation.
Yeah, whole Eastern Seaboard goes down.
Back off.
Wow.
And they're like, how come you didn't mark the wire? Like, people don't know about this wire.
People don't know.
811 doesn't know about this wire.
Well, that seems like a poor decision to put it directly under the field goal post then.
I don't know.
Sorry. Call these unmarked vans.
I don't know how the internet works. They play soccer in Europe and it travels under the ocean and then I watch it on my TV. No portion of that is understandable. This is not MP Explains the World. This is just MP is mystified by the world. The cable runs.
And the secret wires. There's a big wire. Now I know there's secret wires.
Does it sit on the bottom of the ocean? We don't even know where the bottom of the ocean is.
It can't, right?
What happens if a fish eats it?
I don't know. How to make it long enough.
Like, what if a shark bites it? What happens?
Shark dies.
Does the wire ever break?
That's how Sharknado happened.
Oh.
Conspiracy corner. Let's go back.
Oh, one trip per day.
The historical event that it was Sharknado. That's a documentary, you know. Because they bit the wire.
Crosstalk on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Yeah, be the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app with a little breaking news. UVA and NC State are supposed to play a football game in Brazil in August, which I said at the time was insane. The ACC put out a statement. They didn't call it insane, but they did say the game has been relocated to Charlottesville, quote, following extensive review with operational partners and international stakeholders. The game, originally scheduled to be played in Brazil, will be relocated to Charlottesville, Virginia. The event follows communication from Athlete Advantage, which informed the participating schools the event could not be conducted. Further details on tickets at Scott Stadium will be forthcoming. RIP, College Football Brazil. They still get to play in week zero, though, which is a huge advantage. So they now get two bye weeks instead of one this year. Good on UVA. Get to start practice earlier as well. With that, we got to start Crosstalk.
Two hosts enter.
Let's get it on right now, all right?
Two hosts will also leave, but in between, all bets are off. This is Crosstalk with MP and AWOD.
Okay, okay, let's get this show on the road.
AWOD's swinging by. No Brazil for AWOD. He'll be hosting AWOD's Football Fest that day. Look forward to that event every year. But tonight, we've got another golden opportunity in baseball. Nats to go above 500. The Flying Squirrels to increase their margin. They did it last night. They were winners. Erie and Harrisburg both losers. 7.5 games up now, Adam. A lot of people are noting that they're unbeaten since your Tarps Off segment.
Put the magic number down to 7.
Let's go.
The Flying Squirrels. I mean, playoffs. Playoffs.
We're talking
minor league playoffs.
We're talking clinching a playoff spot on June 3rd.
Yeah. And once again, minor league sports are for the fans to come and have a great time and make memories. And then you see guys go out and have success at other levels and into the majors. Shout out to Jonah Cox.
Yep.
But as a fan of the team, it's very cool when you have success, when you get to see a team play in a meaningful game, a playoff game at CarMax Park in the inaugural season. I mean, that would be perfect.
I'd love to see a measurement of that. So, like, if I go to a Commanders game as a fan, 85% of my enjoyment of that day is whether they won or lost.
I would say 98% for me. Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe you have a great time tailgating, play some cornhole, you know, maybe you have good seats, good friends, good food, but the whole thing is, did you win or lose? The Squirrels are the opposite of that, obviously, but I felt good leaving there last night, because they're like, it's a non-zero impact. It's not a 0% care. Like, there is definite boost to Richmond, to the Squirrels, to our energy talking about the Squirrels when they're good.
Yeah, and like you said, if the Squirrels can clinch the first half championship there and then guarantee a playoff spot, then you get the entire second half of the season to plan an awesome playoff festival.
Basically. Yeah, and maybe that impacts the Giants thinking, like, who do we call up? Who do we get ready? You know, make sure they've got a playoff-ready roster.
Probably not. You know, the Giants seem like they're probably focused on themselves.
Well, they're not doing well, so yeah. They need to focus on us. we got a better chance than the Giants this year. I feel that way for sure. We've talked about the Nats a lot. We've debated the Nats a lot. You're ready to sell the house here at the trade deadline. I said, I don't know. There's something going on here. There's something good going on here. What do you want to see between now and the trade deadline out of the Nats?
I feel like I was already proven right over the last 2 days. The Miami Marlins are poo-poo garbage, and they're about to sweep us.
Yeah?
This is not the year for the Nationals. It was exciting. We had a parade! Celebrating 500! Woo! trade C.J. Abrams, because the value will never be this high, because you have no pitchers. You have no pitchers. How many times do we have to watch this team give up runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning? But, oh, man, I love watching C.J. Abrams at the plate. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. If they get swept by the Marlins, it gives a lot of ammunition to Team A-Watt. I'm ready to join Team A. Like, that is not a serious operation as it comes down the stretch. And it's in their hands. The players can play to keep this together. If they go on a slide here, I feel a lot better about breaking
What's
it up.
Very interesting to me is how awful the Nats have been at home. That is kind of the wild thing. Like, if you look at the splits for the Nationals, it stands out, which is kind of shocking when you see a team in Major League Baseball. They are 12 and 19 at home and 19 and 12 on the road. They are 12 and 19 at home, 19 and 12 on the road. That's a huge difference.
Would you like to guess where they are in attendance in the league?
Ooh, you think that's a big part of it?
It's their average.
The tarps off seems to be helping that a little bit. I mean, I've seen a bunch of people with their shirts off in the outfield recently.
This says they're averaging 22,000 a game.
Uh huh.
That's not.
Where is that rank, though?
Lower third. 22 out of 30.
But do you think of baseball as a huge home field advantage?
I think you need juice, and I think this is helping the Squirrels out. That so many minor league baseball games in April and May are played in front of empty crowds, and there's no way to fix that. School's not out. You know, it's the weather's cold in a lot of these places. Like, it's just not an appealing thing for fans. Because the Squirrels have had good crowds at CarMax Park, I think there's absolutely juice there.
I agree with you for the Squirrels' perspective. There's juice. It's helping them win. In Major League Baseball, I think what we're seeing with the Washington Nationals is the advantage in Major League Baseball being home isn't the crowd. It's that you get to bat last. But if your relief pitcher gives up runs in the ninth inning,
yeah,
then you don't get those walk-offs that everybody else gets. I think that's the difference right now is the Nats are at home batting last, and they're desperate with those last at-bats.
Worst in the league, the A's, of course, Miami right behind them. They're both the A's are averaging, and they're in Sacramento, but they're averaging 10,800 a game.
Yeah.
If they could drop a little tiny bit, the Squirrels could catch them.
That's crazy. Miami, who you also mentioned, is 18 and 15 at home.
Yeah.
So that crowd's not really affecting them at home.
Yeah.
They're 10 and 19 on the road. And the last two victories have come in Nats Park. It's so frustrating because I was getting ready to buy in like you and everybody else because it wasn't just Abrams and Wood. It was Lyle and Weimer and Ruiz. But the pitching staff is so bad that this is why you were going to have to rebuild.
Yeah, it's becoming increasingly obvious. I'll join you on that. We got a minute left here, but I want to ask a Commander's version of that question. So, like, if they, you know, if the Nats were 5-10 games above 500, we'd be buying in. Commanders, at what point will you just throw all your caution to the wind and be like, this season is special? Like, at what point would you do that? Like, if they win the first two, are we just going to do that?
No. I think it's the 10 game. I'm looking at 10 games.
Okay.
Because, or 9, right? Because 2024, it was special to me when we got to that 7-2 mark. That was the really, 4-2, 5-2, 6-2, 7-2. That 4 week stretch it was everybody around the country was talking to us. That 7-2 mark put us in a Super Bowl conversation. So I'll say 9 games in this season. Yeah.
All right, I'll follow you there. 3 hours A1 Radio, live and local. What do we got cooking today?
Yep, excited for this show today because it's NBA Wad here to start the NBA Finals. We've got the Spurs against the New York Knicks. We'll preview that game. I'm starting to get a little bit excited about the World Cup coming to the States. I'll give you guys a preview of that. My pick of the best 10 squads they'll be playing in this year's World Cup. No, the U.S. men's national team's not in the top 10. And then Coach Naki will join us to talk about NBA Finals. And AJ DeBonsa, my favorite basketball player, went on the podcast with my former favorite hooper, Gilbert Arenas. There's a lot to break down about that, Bob.
There's a lot to break down about that. I need the World Cup primer, so I'll be listening there. We're back tomorrow. You're listening to Nights in the Fan at 105.1 FM.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.